Good morning. We don't single out new people that join us. We want to welcome people and celebrate them. But if they're old hands, we get to embarrass them. So Ken and Judy are here. Ken is on sabbatical from Rye, Colorado. I was debating, seniority, and I asked him when he began to serve and whatever. I believe I got you beat. I have more senior moments than you do any day of the week. Yeah. By way on the back of the bulletin, Tuesday doesn't show up, but we will have a coordinating council meeting. Everyone is welcome to join. We will be doing that virtually through Zoom. Come and join us. Come and sit in on that meeting. We'll cover everything that we will need to approve during our church conference coming up. And kind of update, it's been, Michael, how long has it been since we had a?
At least a year,
yeah, something. So it's been a little while. We're still here, we're still doing well, but want to make you aware that I will send out a link. If you don't get something from me, do not hesitate to send me an email, remind me, whatever. So we will be doing that. I don't have anything else on the back of the bulletin. Paya, have we forgotten anything? All right. Our mission coordinator, Debbie Gunther. Choke, pull twice. Choke off, pull twice. Technology, ain't it wonderful?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to say a couple thank yous. First off, for the crop walk, for everyone that donated to the actual crop walk, and everyone that has helped supported through the year for the fundraisers. And that's the end of the fundraisers until January now. But last week at Bubba's, we got $115. So thank you to all that went to that. And then yesterday we probably at the clothing giveaway had looked like more people than we've ever had. And a great big thank you to Diana Hunt, Don and Tom Larson, Melba, grandsons, and Sandy Tinney, and anybody else that donated and helped in any way. Thank you.
Thank you. Offering free clothing. Some families depend on that for their year, and so we are grateful. We are blessed, and so we can share that. Diana Hunt, please.
Hi, I want to call a 5-minute, maybe less, SBRC meeting for right after church. This involves James Dixon, Joe Burns, Lucy, if she's here, Mark, and Melba, and Mike. So
okay.
If you guys can just stay for a few minutes, I need a consensus. Thank you.
Okay. At Staff Parish Relations Committee, right after worship. Okay. Ex officio members as well. So okay. Other announcements for the good of the order as we're preparing. There are some tree-ripened pears and tomatoes in the narthex, if there are any of them left. But they have been grown and ripened with love by our members of the church. So they're better than everywhere else. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, stand, wave hello. Let's turn to our call to worship.
Good morning. Join me in the call to worship. Doing anything? There. I think that's going.
Okay.
This isn't my morning. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise God in His mighty firmament.
Praise God
for mighty deeds.
Praise
God according to God's surpassing greatness. Praise God with trumpet sounds. Praise God with lute and harp.
Praise
God with tambourine and dance.
Praise God with strings and pipe.
Praise God with clanging cymbals. Praise God with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our opening hymn is number 617 in the hymnal, I Come with Joy.
Come with joy, meet my Lord, forgiven, loved, and free. In awe and wonder to recall the life laid down for me. His life laid down for me. I come with Christians far and near to find her home.
May be seated. The scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 to 7. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who called you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other besides me. There is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Melba. But we have prayers of concern on the back of the bulletin. You see some of our ongoing prayers. Paya, can you fill us in on your cousin, Tele? Tele? Tele.
Tele is still in the hospital. They've taken him off of the induced coma, but he had to get surgery in his trachea so that they could put feeding tube and other things to try to help him get by. He may be moved to a rehab center here in the next week or so.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Some prayers in there. And you might, before you get the mic away from Michael, Nancy, Austin, I guess we just need to know that baby Joseph, who was born prematurely, is at home, and they're trying to determine if he's breathing on his own lungs or a little bit nebulous when they're premature. So prayers for them, prayers he heals. We continue to lift those who have been in the midst of natural disasters and different catastrophes. My prayers continue in Israel and Palestine. My prayers continue in Ukraine and Russia. Perchance something will happen. Perchance Christ's peace will break through. May it be so. Amen? Amen. May it be so. Other concerns, other things that you would like to lift, individual prayers. Michael, Debbie Gunther, she's already spoken once, so this is her second for the day. We'll have to ding her for that.
I heard from Krista Bray Miller yesterday, and she's asking for prayers for her mother. She's in the hospital and kind of transition maybe into a different living situation for her mother. And Krista's asking prayers for herself, too. She's having knee and hip issues. Thank you.
Okay, Krista Bray Miller in New York for her mom and for herself, health issues. Other concerns? I would lift celebrations. I have a birthday list and I'll read those in a moment, but do you have other celebrations before we turn to those? Couple, Michael, Rene Veron on the back.
Hello. So I want everyone to take a moment when you exit this door and look at that incredible rose with all of its blooms and its blossoms and its buds. Oh, dear, that is a gift.
The road or the?
Rose. R-O-S-E.
Rose.
Rose.
Rose, amen. And I would lift the trees. Melissa and I are driving along going, ooh, ah. God is magnificent. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Richard Schneer.
Okay, my wife informed me that today is Pastor Appreciation Day, and I hope that we all feel appreciation for your presence. And I wish for Ken also, since he's with us this morning.
Yeah. Well, thank you for thinking of us, and I tell you, to be honest, I'm glad I'm here too. Joe Burns has his hand raised. Michael, in the back, in the middle.
My older brother, his name's Robert. He's a year and a half older than I am, and he's in a home right now. He's trying to get rehabilitated enough to be able to walk again, and we'd appreciate any prayers.
Okay, Brother Robert in rehab, trying to return to health. Return to health. Indeed, amen. I was watching some of our younger members that came in, and they bounced in, and I found jealousy. I would just share 1 hour with them, you know, but we took it for granted, didn't we? It was that way. By way of celebrations, today's Mosesi Funaki's birthday. Tuesday, Ron Mackey's has a birthday. 91 years young? Hey, man. I skipped over Stephanie Iverson, who's having a birthday. She's turning 11, is that right? Don't we wish. Caleb Armstrong, are you there? Wave your arm up here. Is your birthday coming on next Sunday? Yeah. How old are you going to be, Caleb? 6. Yay! Happy birthday, little buddy. And Diana Hunt shares the birthday with you, six as well, 6 years old. Happy birthday to you guys. Next week, coming up, Mark Doctor, but I won't tell you that until next week. So, any others, any other birthdays or anniversaries or celebrations of seasons or appreciation for God's works among us because they are there. God grant we not take them for granted, that we appreciate God every moment. If there are no other prayers, let's turn to our unison responsive unison prayer. Lord God, warm our hearts in this prayer time. Lord, we lift prayers for ourselves, but more, we lift prayers for those hurting. Lord God, guide our hearts. Lord, help us remember to give thanks to you in our celebrations. Lord God, guide our minds. Grow us in our inclusion of all people to all families. Lord God, open our welcoming arms. Lord, open our souls to love all of our neighbors, your children all around the world. Lord God, guide our prayers in the name of Christ. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord, thank you for a moment with you as we begin this week, as we prepare ourselves for whatever is before us. We begin with you. We begin pausing in prayer. We begin pausing in scripture. We seek to hear the word. We seek to share our love one with the other, with our church family, with our world family. As we come and gather, help us, Lord, be aware of those that are not near at hand, and in fact may indeed be those that we might otherwise call foes. Let none be our enemies through Christ. All of your children, Lord, are our brothers and our sisters. Help us be siblings to them, family to them, as we are family to Christ. Lord, we don't always discern where you are at work and what you are doing, but we pray for your guidance, for your energy, for your miracles amongst wars and those caught in wars, and those who are screaming for war. Find instead ways to build bridges and guide us that if there are ways we can do so that we might participate in the Christ through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Lord, your guidance is before us, around us, before us, behind us. We offer thanks in this time. We offer ourselves. We offer our treasures. We offer our prayers. We offer our energy. We turn to you and kneel in your presence. Guide us, Lord. Hear us as we come and gather. Hear us as we pray with all the people on earth, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for those prayers. Continue them.
Pray hard, pray often. As we turn to our offertory, Barbara will share an offertory for us, but let us remember that we have been blessed. I am always amazed at the clothing and the clothing, our clothing giveaway donations of things that we no longer wear. Our closets are full. Our homes are warm. Our bellies are full. We are a prosperous and loved people. May we share that with the world. May we be about offering peace in whatever ways we are able. Barbara?
Our gospel message is from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. What? I have to lay hands on it. How's that feel? It's making noise. Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22.
Stand
if you're able, would you stand, please? Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give, therefore, to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Stephanie, bring your troop down. Stephanie, Holly, kiddos, big, little kiddos. They're all coming slowly and shyly. Have you ever noticed kids are shy when they're in the spotlight until you're not paying attention to them? If we all look the other way, they'll be up here carrying on before you know it. Kelly, come on, bring him down. Kelly, come with us. Kelly, come on down here too. If you have not seen him move, come on out here. All right, if you are comfortable getting a little bit of aerobics, stand and join them, or sit and join them, but let us turn to our Vacation Bible School anthem.
You're watching Live3Kids.
I live for this. God has a reason, reason for my. That's what we need, graffiti cannons in the church. Thank you all. Kiddos, thank you for your enthusiasm, for your energy. Stephanie and Holly for leading. For God for giving us arms and legs and voices and ears and all of that stuff. Pretty cute bunch. They say I was cute when I was that age too. I wouldn't know. It's been a while. What did you think of the Old Testament passage? You know, we probably have read that in the lectionary numerous times over the years. I don't know if you're aware, though, that what they're talking about, Cyrus. God is talking to Cyrus, that he has chosen Cyrus. Cyrus the second, Cyrus the Great of Persia, was not a Jewish person, was not a Hebrew, was not from the clan, was not one of the ones. He was not one of the chosen. You have to get a little bit of history. Here's a history lesson. Ken, I ought to have you do the history lesson. Babylonian exile, have you ever heard of that? 587, thereabouts, the whole area was captured, conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar took all the valuables out of the temple, destroyed the temple, took all the people that were knowledgeable, that were smart, that were leaders, took them all into captivity in Babylon. Sometimes it's called the Babylonian captivity. Sometimes it's called the diaspora, because the Jews were scattered all across the nations. They didn't have a home. They didn't have a place. And I might just intercede, that's part of the conflict in Israel today. Israelis having a place, Palestinians have a place, but they both claim the same place. We go on. The Babylonian captivity is underway. The people live there for 47 years. They don't know how long they're going to be there. Many of them intermarry. Many of them find families and they grow, beginning to assimilate into that other culture. But then Cyrus II of Persia, the Persians conquer the land, defeat Nebuchadnezzar and all, and he repatriates everybody back. That was in 539. So from 587 to 539, numbers are plastic there because it happened over time. But during that period of time, they had been gone. Now they return. The Jews, though, have maintained their sense of identity through a strict set of boundaries, through walls they've erected around themselves, around their culture, around their worship. They worship differently. They have Sabbath times. They have special ways of worship. They dress differently. Their attire defines them. Their diet defines them. They eat kosher. They are careful about obedience to different ways of being. And that helps hold them together. In their uniqueness, they find that identity and they hold together. Later, we will find that as they are no longer in danger of becoming assimilated, that those boundaries restrict them from growing and including outsiders. And so we'll hear Jesus and Paul and all of the New Testament beginning the Gentile mission. Reaching out to Gentiles. Do you know who Gentiles are? Usans. That's a technical, theological term. So we read from Isaiah, and most scholars acknowledge that Isaiah, if you've ever read it, it's a long book. But there are actually three parts, maybe three different authors, or even three books, if you want to phrase it that way. There's pre-exilic, during the exile, and post-exilic. So Isaiah was writing at those different times, or the authors in his name were writing during those three different periods. And here we're hearing post-exilic. They have been saved, drawn out of captivity by Cyrus. God has called Cyrus to do these things, and they are drawn out, and God speaking through Isaiah is talking about them. God chooses Cyrus. All the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord. The kingdom of heaven giveth me, and he hath changed me to build him a house in Jerusalem. This is Cyrus. Whosoever there is among you of all his people, the Lord his God be with him. Let him go there. That's out of 2 Chronicles. We didn't read that this morning. But Cyrus acknowledging and guiding people to God. It's unthinkable. What in the world is he doing dealing with Cyrus? Cyrus is not one of us. He's an outsider. He's a non-Jew. God certainly wouldn't have anything to do with a pagan like that. But he calls him. I call you by your name. This is out of Isaiah. This is what Melba read. I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. Cyrus. God is calling him. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. And Cyrus repatriates the Jews, sends them back, helps them get started rebuilding their temple. Things are good for a while. Have you ever heard of the Apocrypha? Some of your Bibles have your Bible, and then they have the Apocrypha. It's a set of works outside the Bible, but still considered worthy of study from the right time period about our history, about some of the teachings, and some of them from the Maccabees, for example. They talk about a period of time after the Israelites have returned to their homelands and some strict hardliners demand that anyone who took a foreign bride or has children through a foreign bride divorce them, reject them, and send them back into Babylon. Think about that. Here are faithful men who have built families, and maybe the families have converted. It was an awful time. It was a divisive time. It was a painful time. But again, it stands behind that wall of high boundaries that were part of the Jewish tradition, misapplied. But they are back. The problem is they held on to their traditions before they held on to God. Think about that a moment. Is it possible that we might hold on to traditions and things that we've always done instead of holding on to God? Biblical commentator Gene Tucker writes, when God and country are allowed to become one value rather than two, it is very difficult to acknowledge God's favor on another country, and almost possible to concede that God could be using any nation to either punish or save one's own. We understand what's being said here, and we have to pause and back up. Do we believe in an all-powerful God? Do we believe that God is almighty? These are central to who we are. God can do anything. God is able, sees all, knows all, and is able to accomplish all. Even to work through someone who is not of the body, this Cyrus II of Persia. God calls and instills and directs, and he becomes a savior for God's people. The tradition would say we need to reject him. The Jewish tradition would put him outside the family. But God, all-powerful, God says otherwise. On the cover of the bulletin, did you see it? I put a picture there. That's Caesar. I don't know which one. That coin's worth $1,800. That's more than when it was made, by the way. That was a joke, help me. That's a denarius, and they bring a denarius to Jesus, and they're seeking to trap Jesus, you see, and it's a clever trap. Here is a coin of the realm the denarius, and they say, should we pay taxes to Caesar? Well, if you don't pay taxes, now you're breaking the law, and you can go to jail, and Rome can come and get you and haul you off, and that's a dangerous thing. But if you do pay the tax, aren't you acknowledging Caesar's rule over you, that he is in charge of you instead of God? So there's no right answer. I remember in junior high school it went around, and it was horrible for us in junior high. I mean, junior high kids, you walk up to a friend, a guy friend of yours, and say, so have you always been pregnant? What are you going to answer? Yes or no? They're both bad answers. And it used to just, I struggled to find some way of responding to these clever friends of mine that would be bringing these tests and these tricky questions. But here the Pharisees, they're saying much more seriously, they're seeking to entrap Jesus. And it makes us smile, doesn't it, to hear Jesus, how he turns that on them. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. But that's not only true of the denarius, but it's true in our lives. Jesus didn't come to change the political landscape and to bring a revolution and to overthrow Rome. In fact, they tried. You recall there were different, the zealot Simon in his midst, one of his 12, they were all for overthrowing Rome, a rebellion, and many of his disciples were convinced that that was what Jesus was going to do, build this group of people following and lead an uprising to throw off the yoke of the Romans. But that's not what Jesus came to do, because Jesus was about changing us. He came to redeem us through righteousness. So is it possible, think about it a moment, is it possible that our allegiance to our nation might come in conflict with our allegiance to God? Is it possible that our allegiance to anything might come in conflict with God? I have met people with different political alliances. And of course, everyone will claim that God is with their particular alliance. But some will place that alliance above their allegiance to God. And when all of that happens, whenever we choose anything before God, it's heresy by definition. But in danger is it separates us from God. God has to be first before all things, before politics, before any cause you might have, any passion that is in your midst. God is the God of all things, including politics. So here, the lesson before us is the lesson of Cyrus II. God chooses Cyrus and empowers him and rewards him. A king who acknowledges God, just like Jesus reminded everyone, give the coin to Caesar, but give your heart to the Lord. That's where we are. May we be faithful. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and sing. Melba, if you will come lead, and Barbara, if I could impose upon you to ride the horse here. The hymn is Give Thanks, 2036 in your Faith We Sing. Rise and join us if you are able.
Thanks because he's given to us.
Testing.
There he is.
It's a senior moment. Blessings upon you. Blessings as we go from here. God, number one, place God before us, and we will never falter. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Let's join hands and sing our closing. God's people said,
Amen. Amen.